Tonight we're kicking off a new series called The Name. And really what it's all about is pretty simple. And it is that we want to be people, and collectively we want to be a church that's about one thing. And we have some core values, some culture values that we're sort of trying to put in play as a church because we're a new church. And just to be flat out honest, some of you came from other churches and you had your own culture and your own language and your own values and things that were important, and that's awesome. But we're trying to establish our culture and our language and our values. And so we talked about our three cultural, our three theological anchors: glory of God, radical grace, and full-on extravagant worship. We've put those in play. We've talked about being the of the world, door holders for the world, and restorers of the city. We're starting to put some of the main ideas in play, and there are a few more. But at the top of the list is this, that we want to be a people, and we want to be a church that's about one thing. And when I tell you what it is, you're going to look back at me kind of like, really? That's the thing that you really want to talk about? Because it seems obvious, but it's really not. And the thing that we want to be about as people, and the thing that we want to be about as a church, is the name. That's what we want to be known for. We want to be known for the name. And when I'm talking about the name tonight, I'm talking about the name that is above every name. We want to be known as people and a church that exists and lives for Jesus. And you're thinking, no kidding. I mean, good job, Sherlock. I mean, that's fantastic. No wonder, you know, you guys don't know what you're doing. But come on, how many times have you been to church and you just haven't heard much about Jesus? And how many Christians have you been around day after day after day and you haven't heard them say much about Jesus either? It's possible to go to church and sing the songs and be a quote-unquote Christian and never really fall in love with Jesus. And when that happens, you live a life that doesn't lift up the name. And I want us just to back up to square one for a few weeks, and I want us to talk about the name. I want us to think about the name. I want us to open scripture and let it speak to us about the name. Because in this whole speak up moment where we were the last few weeks together, the one thing we want to make sure we're speaking up is the name of Jesus. We want to make sure that name is in our conversations, in our vocabulary, in our prayers, in our dialogue with God Almighty. It's sort of like this. I want to see if we can sort of replace the God idea with the Jesus idea. And you're thinking, man, that's a crazy thing to say. Not really. Because almost everyone in Atlanta has a God. Almost everybody in this city has a God. Almost every people on this planet have a God. God is not a strange concept to people. And so when you and I say, well, I love God, person sitting across the road says, I do too. I worship God, I do too. I want to give my life for God, well, I do too. And then you realize, wait a minute, are we talking about the same God? Because my God has a face, and my God has a name. Yeah, he's a Trinity, and that's crazy. Yeah, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that's complex. But the God that I'm worshiping tonight and the God that I'm following tonight has a face. He has a name. He's come in flesh. He's been touchable, knowable. He's been revealed. He's been made clear, and his name is Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, Lord of all, King of kings. He is my God. And when you say Jesus, you're not just saying God, you're saying this God, this heaven-sent God, this only one God, this God came down God, this God took on human flesh God, this God stood in the gap God, this God stood on earth and paid a price God, this God bled and died God, this God was the payment of our sins God, this God was raised up from hell itself with power in life, God. This God, his name is Jesus. He touches the leper and heals the sick and loves the unlovable and has conquered death and darkness and sin. He has broken the chains of the law. He has set us free from things we could never do on our own. He has given life and breath to all people. He's the light of the world, this God. His name is Jesus. And he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I am Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus holds the name that is above every other name. But somehow, we live in a culture where his name is spoken just like Larry's and just like Laura's. We just throw that name about. We just throw that name around. Some of your coworkers throw it around different ways. It gets kind of out there, that name. But have you ever met somebody that when they spoke the name of Jesus, you could sense in them they hold that name higher than every other name? And I want to be that. I'm on a mission. I'm on a pathway to be in that. I got a long way to go, but I want to be that kind of person. And I want to be a part of those kind of people. And I want people who come to Passion City Church to say, man, have you heard about Passion City Church? And the next thing they say is not somebody's name or a band's name or a venue's name or a speaker's name or a vibe's name. The next thing they say is Jesus. Jesus is in that place. Jesus is among those people. And his name, the power of his name is in that house. And that's the difference that sets us apart from a world full of gods and full of things to worship, that we become a house that lifts up and holds dear the name, the one and only name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 3, it ends, and we've talked about it before, but it's talking about the God who can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. And then the last verse of chapter 3 says, to him, to that God who can do exceedingly more. So there is God, and God is in Scripture, so don't get me wrong there. You can talk about God all day long, but if you talk about God all day long and you never get around to Jesus at any point, people might not know who you're really talking about. And so that's what these two verses do. It says, this God who can do exceedingly abundantly, more than anything we could ask or even imagine, it says, to him, to this God, be the glory. And then listen how. In Christ Jesus and in the church forever and ever, amen. In other words, the heartbeat of this God who can do exceedingly more than you could ever dream of for your life, the heart of this God is that glory would come to him, but he says, and here's how it's gonna come to me. It's gonna come to me in Christ Jesus. He's gonna be the one that reveals me to the world, that clarifies me to the world, and that makes me accessible to all kinds of people in spite of their foolishness. So I'm gonna get glory in Christ, and I wanna get glory in the church. And you see how those two things fit together tonight? He is Christ. He's the head of the church. We are the body of Christ as the church. So, of course, if glory is coming to God through Christ, it would come through the body because he's the head of the body. So if the head gives him glory, the body would give him glory. So in Christ and in the church should be the glory of God. Not the glory of a church, not the glory of any people, but a place that people come around and they leave talking about the power and the life of Jesus. If you've ever been touched by a hand like his hand, then you can't stop talking about the hand of Jesus. If you've only been through the motions, you can just punch your card a million times over of how many Bible studies you've been to and how many churches you've been to and how much stuff you've done, but you're not standing here tonight going, I've been touched by the hand of Jesus Christ. And it did something in me, healed something, fixed something, mended something, restored something, saved something, rescued something, changed something in me that nobody else could do for me. Then you may just be going through the motions and you may love Jesus with every ounce of your heart. You just don't talk about him much. Nobody really hears you talking about him all that much because the touch always brings the voice. And that touch and that Christ, that's what we want to wrap our hearts around. That's who we want to be as a church. If you have a Bible tonight, I'm going to jump around in a couple of passages, but I want you to begin with me in Acts chapter 9 and all you Passion goers that actually could enjoy Passion, you've heard some of what I'm going to share tonight, and I've heard it twice since then, and it was impacting both times, so I'm not too worried about you. all you guys that volunteered at Passion and you were like trying to listen, but you really couldn't, and you were trying to peek in the main sessions, but you really weren't supposed to, and you kind of walk through and get a hand up, you know, and then you'd be right back to your job. I know how you work. And you were thinking, man, it'd be awesome just to be in there hearing it all. You're going to love this tonight because you didn't get a chance to hear maybe everything where we ended, but I want our whole church tonight to hear this. I want all of us together to get our hearts on this page tonight because God is saying to you and me, you can carry the name. You can carry the name. And that's the biggest deal going tonight, that you can carry the name. It is such a huge, huge miracle that you and I can carry the name of Jesus tonight, that we get the privilege to do that. And I just want us to rally around that cause. Acts chapter 9, we're sort of jumping into the middle of the story. If you don't know much about the scripture, Acts is really telling us how the church got kicked off. Jesus died, was raised from the dead, ascended back into heaven, and when he did, he told his followers, now you wait, the Spirit of God's going to come. When he comes, the Spirit of God is going to give you power, and his power is going to kickstart this thing called the Church of Jesus around the world. And so that's how it happened. I'm here at the very beginning, the very first believers. That's all unfolding here in the book of Acts and Scripture. And so as we come up to chapter 9, we're at an interesting place in the story, and we're here where Saul, who is a persecutor of the church, is about to become Paul, a follower of Jesus and a lover of the name of Jesus and the planter of the New Testament church. The story unfolds like this, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. Now, most of you are in the story, but there's a couple of people who just slipped in. This guy, Saul, he was a Jewish leader. And the Jews were scared to death of this resurrection of Jesus because all of a sudden people were changed. I mean, if you see the Son of God crucified, and a few days later, you see him alive walking around with scars in his wrists and scars in his feet and pinpricks in his brow and a scar in his side, your life has changed. And these followers of Jesus, their lives are being empowered and emboldened by the very presence of a risen Lord. Well, the Jews are trying to squash this whole move of Jesus. They tried to kill him, and that didn't work. And we talked about this once before with John in history. But when you try to kill somebody to squash out a movement and the person doesn't die, that gives you significant problems from then on out. Because you can't really try to kill them again, because if you don't kill them twice, that's even worse. And so you're stuck in a real dilemma. So they try to discredit the resurrection. They try to say it was a hoax. They try to say some people stole the body. And now they're just trying to put pressure on the followers. And the chief ringleader is a guy named Saul, highly educated in the Jewish system, a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he is literally going from town to town, seeking out the followers of the way. And where he can, he's putting them under intense persecution, because this message of the resurrection in his mind has got to be stopped. And a few verses before we started reading in chapter 9, first martyr of the church gave his life in chapter 8, a guy named Stephen, who was crushed to death because he was so bold in proclaiming the fact that Jesus Christ, whom men had crucified, was risen from the dead by the power of God. And this crowd flew into a fury, and they killed him on the spot. And it says the person standing there giving approval, like authority for it to happen, his name was Saul. Flip the page. He's on to a new town. He's on to Damascus this time. He's seeking out more people to put pressure on because of the name of Jesus. So as he's going, it says in verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. I love that. I don't know how long it flashed, but it doesn't take long when the glory of God flashes around you, right? Verse 4, he fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, the double voice, man. You know, when you get that from your mom, I mean, that's intense. When you're getting a double voice, that means, come on, pay attention. Something's about to happen here. Why do you persecute me? Now, we can't spend a lot of time in this text. We will come back to this, I'm sure, sometime in life. But interesting opening words of Jesus. They're in red in my Bible. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting not Stephen, who just got his life taken away, not those followers of the way in Damascus that you're after, not those people in the last town that you harassed. Why are you persecuting me? You see how the connection in Jesus' mind is? I'm the head of the body, and we're all one together. And if you persecute them, you persecute me, because we're one church, we're one body. And when you're coming after them, you're really coming after me. That's a powerful thing to remember tonight, just for a little extra credit, a little free thing tonight. When people are coming after you because of your testimony about who Jesus is, they're not coming after you. They're not persecuting you. So you and I can go, you know what? It's not all about me. Oh, Lord, they're persecuting me. Oh, Lord, they're persecuting. No, they're really not persecuting you. They're persecuting the Christ in you, the one who was crucified for us, the ultimate persecution. So we can just rest in that moment and go, you know what, this isn't about me. That might be about you, and don't take this the wrong way, but it could just be that you're annoying. It might really not be the Christ in you. It could just be that you're driving everybody crazy. You ever met that person? Can we talk honestly or not? Maybe not. Okay, I know we're a church, so we're not supposed to talk honestly, so maybe not. I'll move on to the next thing. But you ever known that guy in your class, your school, your work, your job, your community, whatever? They're all gung-ho for God, and everybody hates him, and they're saying, oh, everybody hates me because I'm a Christian, and you just want to tell them, no, they don't really hate you because you're a Christian. They hate you because you're annoying. You put a bumper sticker on everybody's front door. We had to scrape them off with, like, the little putty scrapers, bro. Did you ever know that person? See, you get the point. Let's make sure if the world is persecuting us, it's about Jesus and not about us being annoying, not about us being all high and mighty and judgmental and critical, but about us just offering out this full of grace and full of truth Jesus to the world. And if they can't handle Jesus, then I'll take whatever it is they want to dish out. But I want to make sure it's about Jesus and not about the fact that I tried to cram him down their throat with a 7-iron. You know? It's maybe not. Okay, well, anyway, back to the text. He says, why are you persecuting me? And then, crazy verse, it's kind of flipped my world upside down. Paul says, who are you, Lord? I'm so glad you got that. I was wondering, tonight hadn't been going all that strong, and I was wondering. Is that not an awesome statement? I don't know who you are, but I know you're Lord. That's a little glimpse. That's one of the things that gets you talking about Jesus right there. It's one of those little glimpses where the heavens open, even if it's momentarily like a flash around you, and whatever you see, you know that is awesome. Who's talking to me? Who are you? What's going on? What do you mean persecuting you? Who are, I don't even know who you are, Lord. I don't know you, but I know you're in charge of something. I know you're exalted. I know you're big. I know you're sovereign. I know you're a king. I know you're above. I can tell that just by what's happening right here. And so he answers, I am, you say it with me, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. I'm pretty sure Saul got up and went into the city. Love verse 7, just ancillary fallout. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called to him in a vision and said, Ananias. Isn't that awesome? It seems like it works good that way. He calls him by his name. I mean, that's how specific this whole thing is I'm talking about tonight. He comes to him and he doesn't say, brother, or, you know, hey, you. He says, hey, Ananias. I mean, just like you would say to a friend. He just calls him right by his name. And Ananias gets it. He hears the voice, and something about the voice, he says, "Yes, Lord." Like, I get it. I know that voice. I know that's who you are. He doesn't say, "Huh?" I mean, that's what we say, right? When the Lord speaks to us, we say, "Huh?" We say, "What?" We say, "Are you serious?" We say, "Are you kidding?" We say, "Really?" We say all kind of weird things. But how many times when we hear his voice do we say, "Yes, Lord"? Oh, yeah. By the way, Lord. You see, I think we might have just drifted down into a little bit of familiarity and a little bit of comfort and a little bit of sameness with all his names in the world. And when God comes on the scene and Jesus speaks into our lives, it's like, sure. And we tell people, "Yeah, I was talking to God yesterday, and anyway, blah, 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 blah. And I was praying, and I think the Lord said whatever, whatever, whatever. And I'm not sure, what do you think? And I think God wants me to go this way, or Jesus is asking me to follow him this way, but I'm praying about it. I'm going to seek some counsel with some friends and whatever." And there isn't this sense of, "Oh my goodness, can you believe it? Jesus spoke to me." He spoke to me. Can you believe it? People are like, "Yeah, of course I can believe it. You know." Can you really believe it? Have you really heard him speak to you? Do you hear him speak to you? And when he does, do you go, "I love you, and I know you love me, but when I heard that voice, I knew you were above me, and I knew you were higher, and I knew that you had a name that's above every name. And to that I say, yes, Lord." And the Lord told him, man, when God gets to talking, I love this. He doesn't say, "Well, I'm thinking about something, but I'm not sure what it is. I want you to do something, but it's a needle in a haystack, brother, so good luck figuring it out, because you're going to spend the rest of your life running around in circles trying to find the will of God, and I'm going to sit up here and just laugh at you the whole time. You're going to go to seminar after seminar. You're going to buy 18 books on finding the will of God for your life. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. This guy will never find it, not this guy right here. It's going to be cool." No, here's the thing. The will of God is connected to the voice of Jesus. And if you don't know how to hear the voice of Jesus, you will never know the will of God. You're looking for the will of God like a roadmap. You're looking for Rand McNally to show up. You're looking for an app for your iPhone that you can punch a button and up pops a diagram with a map and two steps and some directions and voice-activated command. That is not what's going to happen. The will of God comes from the voice of Jesus to the people who are connected to him. And when you get in that kind of relationship with Jesus, I'm telling you, it comes down sometimes like this. Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. "But what do you want me to do, Lord?" "I want you to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. I know that, but what's your will for my life?" "Hi, I got an idea. House of Judas, and I'm giving you the street, Straight Street." Like, that's what you want me to do? Like, right, like now? "No, when you get married, that's what I'd like for you to do. Once you pay off your mortgage, that's what I'd like for you to do. No, once you pray about it for a while and seek wise counsel, that's what I'd love for you to do. Maybe next semester, whenever." Like, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. So you got that? Judas, Straight Street, a dude from Tarsus named Saul. Don't want you to get the wrong Saul, okay? That'd be weird. And I want you to go to the wrong Judas. So it's Straight Street, Judas, Saul, the one from Tarsus. He's praying. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias. So I gave him a real clear clue that you were coming. I didn't just say, "There's a guy going to show up." I said, "Ananias is coming. And he's going to place his hands on him to restore his sight." Verse 13, "Lord." Ananias has got a little bit of trepidation here, so I just want you to know that we're talking about reality and not some, "Oh, that's great, but that's not my life." Here comes the reality that you and I can all identify with. You should cheer at this verse right here. Ananias answers, "I have heard many reports about this man." He's just clarifying. He's not saying he's not going. He's not rebelling. He's just clarifying. And that's okay. Clarifying's okay if you respond right, and he responds right, but he's clarifying, okay? He says, "Now let me just make sure. I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your, say it with me, name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, exclamation point. Now, didn't have an exclamation point after the first one, but now stakes are a little higher. Go, bro. And here's why. This man is my chosen instrument. And this phrase coming up, you're ahead of me, you're reading it on the screen already. This phrase wrecked into my world last year. Simple little phrase, I'm sure I've read it before because I know I've read the book of Acts from beginning to end on multiple occasions. But this little phrase wrecked into my world a few months ago. And it just flipped everything around for me. And I wanted to flip everything around for us as a church tonight. Because what is about to come is maybe not what you're thinking. He says, go, because this man, this Saul of Tarsus, this persecutor of the church, I know all that, but hey, that doesn't bother me. I'll take him as well as I'll take anybody else. I'll take him as well as I'll take somebody who's been sitting in church every day of their life. I'm on a mission here, and I got people that I have to use, and that includes all of y'all in the whole wide world, and everybody's got issues, and of course he's got issues, but his issues aren't too big for me. I'll take a guy who was standing there when Stephen stepped into my presence, and I'll use him. I got a purpose for him as well. So nobody in the building tonight is going to be able to leave and go, hey, congratulations, I love the thought, carry the name, that's a really great idea, but somebody like me with my past and my baggage can't carry the name of Jesus. I got news for you. Unless you were standing there when they stoned some Christians and you were breathing out murderous threats, shutting down the church, opposing people, persecuting them and dragging them into prison, I mean, what more have you done? What more have you done? Come on, the enemy is trying to bog us down with our past, and God is saying, look, I'll use anybody. This guy, Saul, let me tell you about him. He is my chosen instrument. He didn't fail altogether. His past didn't disqualify him from doing the most amazing thing and having the greatest privilege on planet Earth. He's my chosen instrument, this guy. And here's what he's going to do. He is going to carry my name. He could have put so many words there. He's going to carry my theology. He's going to carry my gospel. He's going to carry my message. He's going to carry my mission. He's going to carry my rules. He's going to carry. He could have put so many words there, but the word he wanted to put there was a crucial word. He said, he is my chosen instrument, and I'm setting him in motion. He's going to carry my name. He says, first to the Gentiles, that's all the people who hadn't had a shot at faith yet. Because they weren't good enough for the religious ones of the day. And he said, he's going to carry it to kings. He's going straight up to the top with my name. He's going into the courts of the kings with my name. He's going to take my name right into the highest levels of authority on earth. And he's going to tell them my name. And to the Jews, this guy's going to cover them all. And I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for the sake of my name. Verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. So he went on with the plan. He was following the voice. He placed his hands on Saul and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Whew. That's a pretty cool day. That's a pretty cool weekend, 3-day weekend. So what's been up with you? I hate the followers of the way. I hate Jesus. I hate that name. And I hate that story about him being raised from the dead. I hate it. And I love seeing them squashed. I was going to Damascus last Friday, and I was going to take them out. And he showed up. Who? Jesus. Jesus? Uh-huh. He really is alive. I went blind. He was so bright. A couple days later, I was praying, and I heard, just look for Ananias. And I was like, Ananias, are you out there? And a dude shows up at my house. I was staying, you know, at Judas's place, and this dude shows up and he goes, hey, Saul, I'm Ananias. I'm like, hallelujah. I'm so glad you're here. And the guy puts his hands on me and he prays for me in Jesus' name. And my eyes open. And I immediately put my faith and trust, publicly said it boldly. I got baptized, for crying out loud, in the name of Jesus. And then we had a big meal. I'm feeling a lot better now. It's awesome. Awesome. What's been going on with you? You say, well, what happened? Well, what do you think happened? What do you think happened? What do you think happened next? That's a good guess. Just a few more verses. Verse 19, halfway through. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. If you see anything you feel like you want to read along with, go for it. I'll let you know where it is, though. Verse 20. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. At once. He went straight into the synagogue, and they saw him coming, and people scattered. People went into, oh, Lord, help us, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. This is going to be the last day for us. There he comes, and he comes in going, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. What a great moment if you're one of the followers of the way. And you're like, that's a trick. That's a trick. That's a good trick, though. That's a really good trick. I don't know what you're talking about. Immediately, what's in his mouth? The name he was given. Verse 21, all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, they conspired to kill him, but he learned of their plan, the verses below said, and he slipped away. So right here in the text, we get it as clear as can be. The name was immediately in his mouth. So I know you love the story. Most of you already knew the story, but what's the point? The point is that's the outcome of salvation is to become a part of this living church, which Jesus is the head of. And come on, I'm just asking the question tonight. If we're the body that has a head named Jesus, then why is it that we don't really talk that much about the head? We talk about the arm all the time. You see Bob over there, or Billy over there, or Bruce over there, or, you know, Bartholomew over there. Have you seen Betty? Or, you know, I mean, it's like we're always talking about the different people in the body. But it seems like at some point we're going to start talking more about the head of the body than anything else we talk about in the body. Because we've been raised up to be a part of this beautiful church of which Jesus is the head and of whom he has the name that's above every name. What we said at Passion, it's not really the message so much this morning, is that I think we all get stuck on what we're supposed to be doing in life. And I think God says, I really It's a, you know, what do you want to do? You want to go to grad school? Okay, where do you want to go? I don't know, I'm praying, I'm fasting. I want to go to, you know, Concordia, or do I want to go to Columbia, and I'm stuck, you know, I just don't know. And he's like, you know, just go to one of them. You're like, you mean God might just let me go to one? Might just let you do that. I think the most important thing is, if you went to either one, what would you carry there? What would you carry there? Would you carry the name there? Then you're saying, okay, go. They need the name. They need the name. Go there. Go there. I mean, Hannah's here. She went to Molly. Praise God. Through adversity. The loss of a friend in the process of even deciding to go to Africa, and then she still kept going. The loss of her mother, as soon as she sort of got her feet on the ground there, and yet she still kept going. And so she's seen an unreached people group have people in it who never ever knew the name. She's seen them hear the name. She's seen men step forward out of a whole culture that's going for another God and say, I want to follow the name of Jesus. And she's seen the first of these people be baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, that is an amazing journey. That's an amazing journey and an awesome privilege to carry the name to Molly. To carry the name to people who don't know the name. They're not going, oh yeah, I've heard all that before because I went to Vacation Bible School when I was little. They're going, I don't know what you're talking about. And I've heard that if I follow that way, I might get killed. And her team moves around sometimes and takes a break from this place to that place and relocates for a little while because the talk is pretty intense and they want to snuff them out. So if God leads you there, go. We're getting on board as a movement with what God's doing among these precious people in Mali. Passion Fort Worth, the students there are going to do something extraordinary for college kids who are poor and will eat the French fry if they find it under the seat after a few months in the car. They're going to fund the translation of the first scriptures for these unreached peoples in Mali. And that's because somebody carried the name. And we had the privilege of coming along beside her and just doing a tiny little part. But I'm telling you, you're not going to get any more credit in heaven for carrying the name to Mali as you are to the marketplace. I mean, I wanted to say Morgan Stanley because I was trying to think of a financial institution that rhymed with Molly on the spot, and my brain was working, but so many financial institutions have gone under and merged and disappeared, and I think they still are around. Apparently, I have nothing invested with them, but I mean, maybe some of you do. Are they still with us, Morgan Stanley? Anyone? Thank you. The point being, some of you might feel like that's where God wants you. And what we want to say as a church is, great. Because see, there's not a line in heaven for the people who went to Mali and the people who went to Morgan Stanley. There's a line in heaven for the people who carried the name to Mali and carried the name to Morgan Stanley. Because at Morgan Stanley, there are a lot of people who don't know the name. And they're not going to hear it from me. They're going to hear it from you. Because you understand derivatives. And you can speak their language and wear their Brooks Brothers suit and you can do their deal and you've got the education, the smarts, the gifting, the God withal inside of you to thrive in that culture. But you're not thriving in that culture just waiting for your big bonus check to come at the end of the year. You're thriving in that culture going, I'm God's chosen instrument and I've been appointed to carry the name. I might carry it differently at Morgan Stanley than you carry it at Georgia State University. But I'm carrying it. You're carrying it. She's carrying it. We've been touched by this hand. I'm just closing, though. Just give you a clue. Some of you are like, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? And we'll talk more about the name in the next few weeks, but I just want to close by saying you don't really need a class or a talk on how to carry the name, because that's what we've been doing since birth, right? We're name carriers. We are name carriers. Some of you, you are carrying the names right now in the building. I mentioned the Grammys earlier. Chris was supposed to be there. Let me just give you a couple in a hurry. 2 years ago, we were there. It's awesome. We were at the EMI after party, our label partner. It was very cool. There was Chris. Woo, it was awesome. And there was Chris Martin, and that was pretty cool. And there was Gwyneth with him, and it was like, awesome, nice to meet you. How are you? Fine, cool. I don't know you. Go away. Nice to meet you also. I know I don't know you either. But then there was, oh my gosh, who else was there? Katy Perry was there. So here's some of the names that are going to be carried really well tonight. I hope you T-voted. It'll be on starting any minute now. Mumford & Sons up for a big award tonight. Acacia up for a big something tonight. The name's so powerful, she has a dollar sign in it. I mentioned Katy Perry, that's the name. Lil Wayne's the name. I always have to add this in just in case. It's not Lil Wayne, moms and dads. It's Lil Wayne. So just have to get that part right. I don't want you listening to that Lil Wayne. That's just not going to work. You got to shut off the Lil Wayne. Rihanna is a name. Kings of Leon. Now, that's a bold name. That's coming out there with, that's like, we are the Kings of Leon. Pink is a name. It's also a color. her real name's Alicia, which is kind of weird, but Pink's a cool name. She's married to a guy named Corey, and that's not really, no one knows that or cares. But anyway, that's beside the point. Taylor Swift is a name. And then there's that little kid that's taken the world by storm. Oh, my goodness. He's just taken over the whole world. Justin Bieber is a name. Hadn't seen the movie yet, but I saw him playing on the furniture at the house when he was a little kid in the trailer on TV. Daft Punk's a name, just in the spirit of including everyone. Vampire Weekend, Eminem's really not a name. It's really his initials spelled weird, which is, you can do that if you're Eminem. Bruno Mars is a name. I like that name, by the way. That's a very cool name. Nelly, down to one name. Usher, one name. Raymond is a name. It's also Usher's name. It's Drake. There is some presence of the Spirit here. People aren't going to cheer for Drake in church. They're just not going to do it. They want to, but something inside says, I probably shouldn't yell out right now. There's Enrique, he's coming back. I don't know if he ever went away, but he's certainly coming back. It's B.O.B. Is B.O.B. Bob or is he really B.O.B.? I don't know that because I don't know him personally, but I just know him as B.O.B. Arcade Fire's up for a Grammy tonight. Zach Brown is not. Woo, local hero wins the day. Broken Bells, Gaga is a name. What a great name. It's a name and a self-fulfilling prophecy all at the same time. Michael is a name. He's not with us anymore, but the name is the biggest name there is probably still. Beyonce is a name. Jay-Z is a name. I try to be inclusive. I did this at Passion. Justin Aldean is a name, just in case anybody cares. Not here. I love it. I just wanted to check that out, because at Passion, they got back a big roar, and I was like, those people aren't from Atlanta. I don't know where those people are from. Pitbull's a name. Yeah, you're not going to go for that either. I'm just checking. How about Glee? That's a big popular name. Equal time for ESPN. I can't cover them all. You get the point. I jump down to, there's 1,000 of them, and there's 1,000 categories. North Face, show of hands. It's not cold enough. Burton, Ralph Lauren, Polo. Ralph Lauren gets two names. I don't know how. Cole Haan, anyone? Lacoste. Show of hands. How about Aeropostale? I'm cool. I'm rocking. How many of you ever felt that moment just once in life? I have got on my Aeropostale. Life is good. The world is okay. Or maybe that wasn't with it. Your mom hadn't done the laundry, and so you had to go with your American Eagle, but that was an okay backup. Or maybe your dad got a bonus and you got some Abercrombie and Fitch. It's two names. Coach, don't want to exclude the adults, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, that's me, Michael Stars, Hugo Boss, Dooney and Burke, Fossil, Michael Kors, Vera Bradley's a name, ladies, anyone, thank you so much, Kenneth Cole, Donna Karen of New York is a name, just to, not to confuse you with any other Donna Karens, Kate Spade is a name, Tori Burch is a name, cool little, you know, kind of cross thing on the end of the shoes, really happening, you got to go to Phipps Plaza for that though, so you got to step it up, Armani's a name, Lucky's a name, Oakley's a name, Roxy's a name, Quicksilver's a name, some people just throw them in the middle to break it up a little bit, Oprah, Ellen is a really great name, Leno, Conan, these people just got one name, who knows, what is Conan O'Brien. Yeah, we know he's got a name, but it just Conan's enough. A Max a name. Ray Brand's a name. Calvin Klein's a name. Ben Sherman's a name. Fred Perry's a name. Joe's Jeans is a name. Nixon, Volcom, New Balance, Citizens of Humanity, Nudie, True Religion, Hudson, Adidas, Stan Smith, Chuck Taylor, Levi Strauss. Now, that's a good American name right there. Diesel is a name. Havaianas is a name. Whoa, wow, they're flip-flops. No, they're Havaianas. Nike's a name. Uggs is a name. Tom's is a real cool spiritual name. If you don't like all the other names, Timberland's a name. Tree Torm's a name. I mean, come on. I mean, the list goes on and on. You can take it every which way you want to. Ernst & Young, you can go all the way down that road. Apple, PS3, Xbox 360, Call of Duty, Angry Birds, you can go all the way down that road. You can go UGA, you can go Georgia State, you can go Kennesaw, you can go Emory, Agnes Scott, Perimeter, you can go Auburn, Alabama. I like that. More for them than UGA. UGA is not pulling through for us tonight. You can go down... You can go down all those roads. You can go down the AO Pi Road, the Phi Delta Theta Road, the Sigma Chi Road, the Delta 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 Road, the Chi Omega Road. You can go down all those roads. Those people wear the name. You can go down the BSU, the Campus Crusade, the Campus Outreach, the Passion, the blah, 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 blah names. You can go down the church names. We go to Community Baptist, Shady Grove Methodist, blah, 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 Episcopal. You can go down all those roads. You can go down the people's names. We're Stanley, Chan, Piper, Driscoll, Chandler, Moore. You can go down all those roads. Just names everywhere. So don't tell me tonight that we need to have a couple of weeks at church on how do you carry a name. We are born name carriers. We spend our lives talking about the names. The names that we're driving, the names that we're wearing, the names where we're going, the names where we've been, the restaurant, the thing, the deal, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you something, all those people from Calvin Klein and Tory Burch to Levi Strauss and the Volcom guys, they all have one thing in common. All of them have one thing in common. They are counting on you to carry their name. They're counting on you to rock the polo. And if we don't carry the names, they fade away. And it's just all fun and games tonight, for real, that part of it. Just trying to help you understand that is what's in our mouth. And even if it's Passion City Church, it's not enough. Paul, that guy, he said, have this attitude in yourselves that was also in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in equality and the form of God, did not hold his equality with God as something to be grasped or hoarded, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant and being found in the appearance as a man. He, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those on the earth, and those under the earth, and those in the heavens, and every single tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How stunning that we know him. And how stunning that just like Saul, we've seen a flash of grace and mercy and heard his voice and had our eyes opened to be able to see because of Jesus. And he's saying to you and me tonight, you are my chosen instrument. And here's your assignment. Morgan Stanley, fine. Your mother, perfect. You want to go to Molly? Go to Molly. Here's the assignment. The assignment isn't Molly, and the assignment isn't being a mother, and the assignment isn't Morgan Stanley. The assignment is carry the name. Carry the name. Carry it just like you carry Louis Vuitton. Just like you carry that name. Just like you carry Aeropostale. Carry the name. Wear it. Live it. Breathe it. Speak it. Cherish it. Adore it. Exalt it. Worship it. Share it. Give it. Bring it. Take that name into the darkness and speak it to the darkness. To the lame and speak it to the lame. To those who are crippled, speak that name. To those in bondage, speak the name of Jesus. To those pressed down, speak the name of Jesus. To those without any hope left, speak the name of Jesus. Don't say, hey, you should come to my church. Say, did you know who Jesus is? Or Lord willing, if they get here, they won't leave this place without hearing that there is one who is like no other, and he has come for us, and we know him, and we are in him, completely and utterly different people tonight. So for that name and for that fame, I ask you tonight, will you offer up your life to say, I will carry that name? When I saw Acts 9 a few months ago, it just so rocked my world that I decided right there in that moment, I will commit 2011 as the year that I will speak the name of Jesus. I'm not going to talk more about theology than Jesus. I'm not going to talk more about the latest Christian book that I'm reading than Jesus. I'm not going to talk about the podcast I just listened to by so-and-so more than Jesus. I'm not going to talk about the last conference I went to more than Jesus. I'm not going to talk about the last band I heard more than Jesus. I want to say the name. I want to speak up the name of Jesus to him and to the world and in the world. And I just ask you tonight, is that you? Are you with us? Are you with him tonight? And if I ask your friends and your coworkers, what would they say? Your classmates, the people you run around with and hang out with, what would they say? Oh, I heard them talk about church. They talk a lot about their church or something they went to. But you know, I never heard them talk about Jesus much. And I pray tonight that we'd be able to just stick a knife right in the throat of the enemy tonight. That enemy that has brought us so close into the house of God and robbed us of the name that has power to save. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you appeared to me. And many of us in this house tonight can say that you've appeared to us. We might not have been on the road to Damascus, but we were on some road somewhere when you came like a flash. And you captivated us with a simple little glimpse of you. And you changed it all around. And I want to ask that you let mercy reign in this house tonight. To the extent that any of us have talk more about the things of God than we have the head of our household, the head of our church, the living one, the only one who has the name that's above every single name. Lord, forgive us for stacking this world with mounds of names and joining in the happy chorus of making them known to all the people around us when there are people 20 feet from us that still have never heard the name of Jesus. And I want to ask you to break our hearts and to touch us again, Jesus, so that we don't do it because of a talk or because we ought to or because of a value of a church, but we do it because you touched us. And so to those who need a touch tonight, I just ask in the name of Jesus, please come, Spirit of God, and touch them with salvation, with awakening, with eyes to see, with faith to believe in the cross, with healing, freedom, with forgiveness, with hope. Whatever it is that they're hungry for, will you touch them, Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus? Bring Jesus to us tonight. And awaken those of us who've been around us so long that we've lost the awe.